I think it's interesting when looking at some of Paul's writings in Romans chapter 5 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that he likens Jesus to the first man, Adam. And there's many similarities and contrasts that he gives between these two. When you think about some of these contrasts, Adam was the first man to have life, given life, and Jesus Christ was the one who brought that life-giving spirit. Adam was the first man to sin and therefore bring forth death and sin into the world. But again, Jesus was the one who brought life with his grace. And if you think about it, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45, it says, "So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit." This is an interesting concept that Paul is trying to convey. The first man, Adam, and the last Adam, Jesus Christ. And as it says in Romans chapter 5, this first Adam, the Adam who's created, he is a type of he who is to come. That type, that foreshadow of the last Adam, Jesus Christ, who is to come. There are not only contrasts between these two and those similarities that Paul gives, but it's interesting if we look at their accounts within themselves, the first Adam and the last Adam, Jesus Christ. If we look at their accounts, we also see a similarity between them that they were both confronted. Well, Eve was confronted, but Adam through Eve, they were both confronted by Satan himself. And from their examples, we can learn a great deal about Satan. And that's what I want us to deal with tonight, is look at the first man, Adam, and the last, Jesus Christ. And look at their example and what they dealt with and their temptations by Satan himself, and learn from both their mistake, his mistake, the first Adam, and his triumph over Satan. We want to learn about Satan himself from these two. And if you would, before we get into that, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "Be of sober spirits, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." We need to know our enemy. Any person going into battle, any kind of conflict, needs to know his enemy if he wants to fight back. If he wants to learn how to fight back, if he wants to survive, you need to know your enemy. And we must be on the alert because Satan is prowling around for you and me as prey. He wants to devour us with his temptations, with his tactics. So from the sinner, Adam, and from the sinless, Jesus Christ, we're going to learn a few things about Satan. First and foremost, we learn about Satan's tactics. If you would be opening your Bibles to two separate passages, have one hand in Genesis chapter 3 and another hand in Matthew chapter 4. That's going to be our text for tonight. Genesis chapter 3 and Matthew chapter 4. We're going to learn about Satan's tactics. And the first tactic he will use is that Satan will attack you during your high times. During your times when you feel the world is great, everything is going perfect for you, Satan will attack you during these times. And you think about what Adam just went through, the creation and God bringing every beast, every animal on the face of the planet and telling him that he has control over these and he named them. And then God created a woman, his partner for life, out of a rib, out of his side. And then God comes up before them and gives him these words. In Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 15, it says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die.' God gave them this one simple commandment: 'Do not eat from this tree.' That's it. But in the day you eat of it, you will surely die." He gave them the commandment followed by a warning. But then what did Adam do? During this time, this high time, he's living with God. He's in the Garden of Eden. He's a person that was created to live forever. No problems. And then that's when Satan came. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman," and this is where his temptations start. Satan knows when to get to us, and he knew when to get to Adam and Eve. But now let's go on over to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to be starting in chapter 3. Jesus himself was going through experiencing this spiritual high that he was. In chapter 3, starting in verse 16, it says, "After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Jesus was baptized on that day. And you remember your baptism, although his baptism was different. He had no sins to be cleansed. But you remember your baptism when your sins were cleansed. They were washed away. You were white as snow in the eyes of the Lord. What a wonderful, glorious day that was. But even though Jesus did not have sins to be cleansed, he still had the Holy Spirit upon him. And the Lord spoke from heaven with his favor upon Jesus on that day. What a wonderful, inspirational day this was. But then we see in chapter 4, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry." And this is when it started. Jesus was baptized, and then he fasted and prayed. And you can imagine during that time, a lot of hunger is built up, but also you feel strong. You feel strong for God during that time of fasting. But this is when Satan attacked. And you and I need to learn from this example that Satan is going to attack us during our spiritual high times as well. Sometimes we're going to feel like we're on cloud nine. We feel everything is great. Nothing can take us down. We feel strong. We've been studying our Bibles daily. We've been praying daily. We feel right with God. We feel right with the brothers and sisters. Everything is going our way. But don't get too easy at that time. As Peter says, be on the alert, because the devil is right there around you. And if you think about a lion, what does a lion do? Does he try to make a lot of commotion when he's prowling around looking for his prey? No, he sneaks up on them. He watches them as they're out there grazing, thinking nothing is wrong. They're out there by the river getting water, and nothing's wrong. They're with the rest of the herd. Nothing could happen. But then the lion strikes. And at that moment, during their time when they think all is good, all is safe, their greatest enemy comes their way and tries to devour them. That's what Satan is like. He will attack us during those great and wonderful times when we feel spiritually uplifted, and we as a congregation as individuals need to be ready for those times. So number one, his first tactic is that Satan will attack us during those good times. But also Satan will attack your weakness. Satan attacks weaknesses. Again, go on over to Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, notice with me in verse 5. This is Satan talking to Eve. He says, "For God knows that in the day you eat from it," he's talking about this tree, "your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate." Satan attacks those desires that we have. Satan attacks those weaknesses that we have. And think about Jesus now, going over to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 2, it says, after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But Jesus did not sin, as we see in the following verse. Jesus instead spoke back and said, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But the lesson is still there. Satan attacks your weaknesses. Could you imagine fasting 40 days? I don't think I could make it. I don't think I could make 40 days. But Jesus Christ did. He was a strong man. Sometimes we think that he was God in the flesh. He could do anything, and he could. But he still experienced the same pains and the same hungers and the same weaknesses that we do. Jesus Christ was very, very hungry at that moment. And could you imagine being approached by the devil after 40 days and him telling you, look, you have the power. You have the power to turn these stones into bread. Why don't you do it? You're so hungry. Just do it. But Jesus resisted. And the devil did not win in that battle. But the devil attacks our weaknesses. And the same, if you think about a lion, a lion picks out the weakest in the crowd. It's usually the young without a mother, without the herd guarding it, protecting it. Or it's usually the lame, the one who has a broken leg or something wrong with it that makes it slow down. The lion usually attacks the weakest out of the herd. And Satan is the same. He's that lion prowling around seeking you and I to devour. And he is smart. The devil is smart. He knows man. He's been around since the beginning of man. He knows man's weaknesses. And he is easily able to detect them. And that's why we need to be on the alert, because the devil can find out our weaknesses very easily if we allow him. Satan will attack our weaknesses, number two. But number three, Satan will distort the words of God. Satan will destroy and try to manipulate the words of God. He did this with Adam he did this with Adam and Eve. If we go on back to he did this with Adam and Eve. If we go on back to Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to read a lengthy passage, but it's going to get the picture in our minds. In verse 1, it says, now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? Notice right there, he's starting off with God's word. Has God said this? Verse 2 says, so the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the tree of the garden you may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. So Eve is showing that she knows what God says. She understands what God says, and she remembers what God says. And she tells him right there. But then notice what the serpent does. Verse 4 says, the serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. The devil is manipulating God's word at this moment. Yes, if she eats from it, she's going to know good from evil, but he tries to make that look like a good thing. He says, you surely will not die. You won't die at once, but you'll know good and evil. You'll be like God. Right here, the devil is realizing that if I distort, if I twist God's words, mankind is easily drawn away by that temptation. And as we know, it worked with Adam and Eve. But we go on over to Matthew chapter 4, and he did the same thing with Jesus. In Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 5, it says, then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. The devil tried to use God's word, and that's what we need to remember. The devil is smart. Not only does he know our weaknesses, but he knows God's word. And he knows what to say to try to draw people away from it by using God's word itself. But we see it did not work on Jesus. He said in verse 7, Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written, 'You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Jesus resisted the devil, and it did not work. But the lesson is still there. Satan is going to try to use God's word against us. And how can we identify this? Through false doctrines that people try to bring our way. A classic example is all you have to have is faith only. Faith only gets you to heaven. But we know that is not right, because Jesus Christ said before he left in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, those who believe and are baptized shall be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that we have to confess our Lord. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says we have to repent. And the list goes on and on. Faith only does not get us to heaven. But the Satan tries to draw people away from God's word by telling them, look, all you need to do is do this. God's word makes it too complicated. But if you look at God's word this way, it shows you that faith only works. It works, my friend. That's what Satan is trying to tell us. But if we look at God's word for what it is, God's word will explain itself. And Jesus Christ used God's word against Satan that day. So false denominational doctrines, but also we can be tempted by manipulating God's word ourselves. We sometimes try to rationalize, say, well, I know I need to do this. I know I need to read my Bible more. I know I need to evangelize more. I know I need to be the leader of my family. I know I need to be submissive, this and this and all these different things. But then we say, but I don't have time for it right now. But I don't have to do it exactly this way. And we sometimes rationalize and try to develop scenarios in our heads to try to rationalize God's word away. But that doesn't work. Satan tries to do that to us. He tries to rationalize. He tried to rationalize with Adam and Eve and tell them, you're not going to die. All you're going to do is gain wisdom and knowledge. That's all that's going to happen. You're not going to die today. But in the end, they died, because God's word never lies. So Satan tries to distort the words of God. But then finally, Satan will use different tactics. And he did this against Adam and Eve. He tried to entice them, he lied to them. It only took two tries. First he tried to entice them, then he tried to lie to them. Really, if you look at it, he really only took one shot at it. He said, what about this? She told him, and then he lied with enticements. Satan tries to use different tactics, and he for sure did this to Jesus. And with Jesus, he tried to use enticements. Looking at his hunger, he said, turn these rocks into bread. He tried to use enticements, but the Lord resisted. He tried to use lies and distort God's word, saying that you can jump from this and the angels will catch you. He tried to distort God's word to bring his own agenda in, but the Lord resisted with God's word. And then finally, we'll read his last temptation in verse 8. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The Lord resisted. But Satan brought this lust for power, enticements, lies. Satan tries to do and use different tactics against us. And that's why we must be on the alert. We need to realize who we are up against. This is a hard-fighting soldier, Satan is. He's experienced. He's knowledgeable. He has a lot of different tactics that he is willing and ready to use against us. So the Christian must not rest spiritually. Once we begin to rest, once we think, okay, I'm doing good in my spiritual walk with God, I can take a break one moment. I can watch this thing that I'm not supposed to watch. I can read something that isn't good for me. I can hang around people that are a bad influence on me. I can drink this. I can say this. But I'm still right with God because I'm doing good. At that moment, we've given in, and Satan has won. We cannot sleep. We cannot rest. A Christian cannot rest because Satan will continue and tries to use different tactics. And he is a hard fighting soldier against us, and we need to be ready for this. So Satan uses different tactics, and we've looked at a few of them. But now we're going to learn something else from these two Adams, the first Adam, the created Adam, and then the last, Jesus Christ. We're going to learn something else about Satan, and that's how to defeat Satan. One of them did not defeat him, but if he followed the same logic that Jesus did, the same principles that Jesus did, he could have easily won. But Jesus defeated Satan. So first and foremost, Satan will be defeated with proper use of Scripture. Let's turn back one last time to Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 2, it says, "The woman said to the serpent, 'From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die.'" Eve used God's word at that moment, and she should have continued. But then the devil came in and gave her a lie, and gave her enticements. And then at that moment, Adam and Eve both gave in verse 6, because they did not turn back to God's word. Now let's contrast that to Jesus. Each and every instance, three instances we are given at this moment in chapter 4 of Matthew. In chapter 4, starting in verse 4, it says, "But he answered Jesus and said, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.'" That's Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Going on down to verse 7, Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. And then lastly, verse 10. "Then Jesus said to him, 'Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" That's Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. Each and every instance, Jesus fought back with the words of God. He resisted the devil. Jesus resisted. And if you think about our lives, how much easier would we be when fighting the devil if we just built our lives around God's word? Psalm chapter 119, verse 11. I know this is an overused passage, perhaps on my part, but it's a very important passage because it shows us what Jesus installed in his own life. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you." The only way we will not sin against the Lord, if we build our lives around his word, if we treasure his word in our hearts, treasuring it, hiding it, building our lives upon it, keeping it. If we treasure God's word in our hearts, the devil will be defeated. Christ has shown that. And on the opposite side of the spectrum, Adam and Eve did not do this. And in the end, where did they end up? Bringing death and sin into the world. So Satan will be defeated by proper use of Scripture. But secondly and finally, Satan will flee if we firmly resist him. Think about what would happen if Adam and Eve firmly resisted. Chances are one of us would come along and fall under the same trap, but they would have been secure at that moment. They would not have died, as the Lord said. "If you eat this, you will die," he said. Adam and Eve would have been okay in the Lord's arms. They still would have been happy. They still would have been without sin. They wouldn't have all these problems that we have today. The ground around them, it would have stayed cultivated. It would have been okay. It wouldn't have had all these thorns and thistles and weeds that corrupt the land. There would not be any death in the world if Adam and Eve would have resisted. But they did not. And right away, death came into the picture. But now, look at Jesus. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. We're going to go ahead and read this again. It says, "Then Jesus said to him, 'Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only.' Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him." The devil left once the Lord resisted him. Now, James chapter 4 says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." That's a promise given to us. If we resist the devil, fight against him, hold our ground, he will flee from us. And we do that through using God's word, through building our lives around God's word and defending ourselves with God's word. If we resist the devil, he will flee from us. It's interesting to think about, again, lions, because the devil is exemplified as a lion in 1 Peter. Lions are interesting animals because they are fierce. They are way bigger than you or I. One of them could destroy us in an instant. If they were in this room, we would be toast. But you think about people who know lions, who understand lions, who have studied lions and are experts about lions. If you're careful enough, you could stand in their presence and chances are they wouldn't attack you. It's interesting to watch documentaries and people who have shot lions and been there just a few yards away from them, waiting to see what they're going to do with all the other herds around them, but the lions aren't attacking this flesh and blood. Why? Because they stood their ground. Because they did not act scared. They did not flee. They did not run away trying to defend themselves. Instead, they stood their ground. They resisted. And the lions end up usually not fighting back. If you want to stand a chance against the lion, you stand your ground. You can't outrun him. You can't outfight him, but you resist, you stand your ground. You hold up strong and you use God's word against this lion, the devil against us. And if you use God's word, if you resist against him, he will flee. A lion doesn't want to stand around against powerful prey. A lion does not want to be patient with his prey. And the same is true with the devil. He has better things on his agenda, more important things on his agenda to stand around and wait for us to slip if we continue to resist and stand against him. So stand against this lion, and if we use God's word, we will be okay. So we can learn a lot of things about the devil from this first man, Adam, and the last, Jesus Christ. But let us mimic Jesus. Let us hide God's word in our heart. If we do this, we can resist. And if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. So let us end with this last word. Again, what we started off with at the beginning of the sermon, let's end with this passage. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. "Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert." We need to be on the alert because the devil is still prowling around the globe like he was with Job. In the book of Job, when God asked him what he was doing, he was traveling around looking for souls. The devil is still doing that today. He still wants souls to catch, to become his prey. We must be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. So let us resist the devil. Let us know his tactics, that he likes to come after us during our heart, our high times, during those good times, those times when we feel spiritually uplifted. We can't let down our guard during those times because the devil will attack us. But also the devil attacks us with our weaknesses. What are those things that you have struggled with in the past, that you had a hard time before you came to Christ, or maybe you're dealing with right now? What is your weakness? Go to God's Word and study about those things. Study about those temptations. Study about those sins and how they're wrong in God's eyes. And each and every time Satan comes to you with a temptation, use God's Word. Memorize God's word. And when those temptations come your way, repeat it in your mind rather than doing the sinful action. You'll be surprised over time. It's going to get easier and easier. Yes, you're going to face some hard temptations. But if you continue to resist, it's a promise. The devil will flee. When you think about Jesus, when he stood his ground, the devil attacked him 3 times. He kept on attacking him. Just because you resist once doesn't mean the devil is going to flee. But Jesus continued to resist. And finally, the devil fled away because he wasn't going to waste his time on Jesus. And the same can be said on us. If we resist the devil, he will flee from us. So let us be like Jesus Christ and not be like Adam, the first man Adam, who brought sin and death into the world. If we can do this, we will draw closer to God, we will be more pleasing to Him, and in the end we can help one another with other temptations that Satan tries to throw our way. If you have been dealing with any type of sin tonight that you want to make right, and you've been giving in to the devil, you have not been on the alert, you have not been resisting the devil, change that tonight. And if there's anything we can do, whether through prayers or encouragement or study, let us know so that we can help. And if you're an individual here tonight who has not resisted the devil but continued to live that sinful lifestyle by not obeying God's will for your life, in obedience to receive His salvation that He provides for us, make that change as well tonight. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Be on the alert, brothers and sisters. If there's any need, please come forward as together we stand and sing.